Well, hello, hello. Well, hello, hello, hello to everyone. Thank you so very kindly for joining us today with our session, Breaking the Silence. Breaking the Silence, of course, falling under the auspices of Hope Alliance, Inc., which is an acronym for Healing Opportunities Proposed for Everyone. So we're looking forward to sharing some things with you on tonight that would either educate you to help others or perhaps bring you to some attention of things that you can do to perhaps get out of a domestic violence situation, or maybe even trigger you to let you know that there are some areas of concern and need in your own life. And so as we begin to look at that, we again want to thank you so much for joining us on today, and we want to open, of course, with the word of prayer. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, O Lord God, thanking you, Lord, for this day. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it, God. We thank you, O Lord God, for being our Alpha and our Omega, O Lord God. We thank you, O God, for being the Lord God, our protector, O Lord God. We thank you for being the Lord God, our stay. We thank you and we praise you so much for it now in the name of Jesus. Now, God, open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of your law, and help us, O Lord God, as we apply that given word to our everyday lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. I wanted to talk about something on today that I had an opportunity to be introduced to, if you will. And that's a terminology that's being used as gaslighting. Gaslighting. I'm not sure how many of you have ever heard that term being used before, but it is definitely a term that's used specifically in regards to domestic violence. And what gaslighting is, simply put, is gaslighting is emotional abuse. It's a term used for emotional abuse. So we want to look at that today. Today being October 1st, and it's Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So we just want to begin to look at this particular term and see what we can do to educate or to bring some clarity and understanding with reference to the word gaslighting. And so as I was looking it up or researching it out, what I found out was that it describes actions that take another person to make them believe that he or she is crazy, or to discredit the person by making others think that they're crazy, or that the term that's used, it was actually first term, it was used in a movie back in 1944, and the movie was called Gaslight, starring Charles Boyer and Ingrid Bergman. I really have to go and look at it. I can't say that I've ever seen the movie, but this is where this term was taken from. And, of course, the scenario or the plot of the movie was that the husband, in fact, was trying to make her believe that she had lost her mind by doing certain things, and then would come back and ask her what was she doing and trying to discredit her in front of other people. Gaslighting happens most commonly when a survivor senses or perceives something about the primary aggressor that he does not want to admit. When the survivor brings this up, the primary aggressor denies what the survivor is actually perceiving or sensing. This is more than just disagreeing by tone or innuendo or even outright. The perceptions are labeled improbable or crazy. Since information is incomplete, a sincere person is willing to contemplate being in error, the survivor begins to doubt himself or herself. The primary aggressor also would emphasize and increase for a while those behaviors of his that are seemingly different. Also, since the primary aggressor knows what is actually going on, there will be a certainty of manner, which while it is a lie, is still convincing. Over time, doubt can grow and grow to the point, actually, at which the survivor doubts their sanity. And so I know that that may seem like it's an extreme case of what's with it, but there are certain things where, you know, when you think about being in a relationship, when you've seen someone in the relationship perhaps being flirtatious with somebody and they'll, you know, begin to tell you that that's not what you saw and you're making too much of the situation and things of that nature. And then it'll have you doubting yourself as to the validity of what you seen was true. And, of course, you start apologizing. And these little things can start off very, very mild, but they can grow. It can grow. It can grow to a certain extent. And it's actually to get you to start doubting yourself. And, of course, once you start doubting yourself and second-guessing yourself, there are other things that will start happening with you, whereas your self-esteem is low and things of that nature. And so we just want to bring into the forefront or shed some insight on the terminology gaslighting, which, again, is emotional abuse. Now, what I'm looking at, what I saw in my research was that there are several different gaslighting techniques that an abusive partner might use, and one is withholding. The abusive partner pretends not to understand or refuses to listen. I don't want to hear this again, and you're trying to confuse me. They switch. They change it on you and make you feel like, you know, you're doing something to press something up on them, when in factuality all you're trying to do is to get an understanding. Another thing is called countering. The abusive partner questions the victim's memory of events. Even when the victim remembers them accurately, they'll say, "You're wrong. You never remember things correctly." And again, this is emotional abuse. They're attacking the mindset and can I just say victor as opposed to victim? They're attacking the mindset of the victor, because the victim's mentality is something we're trying to pull out of. And so it's also called blocking and diverting. The abusive partner changes the subject and or questions the victim's thoughts. For example, is there another crazy idea you got from your friend or whoever, and you're imagining things? And again, it may seem subtle in the beginning, but if this type of thing takes on for an extended period of time, it definitely would have a person questioning their mindset, questioning, you know, their sanity and things of that nature. Trivializing. The abusive partner makes the victim's needs or feelings seem unimportant. You're going to get angry over a little thing like that, to minimize it or to trivialize it, to make it seem like it's nothing, that you're blowing things out of concern. You know, I've even heard people who are abusers to say, you know, well, I only put a mark on your arm. At least I didn't bust your lip, or at least I didn't do that to make you feel like, you know, what you're going through is little. But I need for us to begin to understand and also to replay what domestic violence is. Domestic violence is more than just, you know, we have to be attentive to the fact that domestic violence is pushing, hitting, shoving, spitting, anything that makes you feel less than a person or attacks your esteem is domestic violence. And so the last one is forgetting or denial. The abusive partner pretends to have forgotten what actually occurred or denies things like promises made to the victim. I don't know what you're talking about. You're just making things up. And so we have to begin to understand this as emotional abuse. The mind is something that we have to begin to guard. You know, the Bible talks about that we have to guard our thoughts. We have to guard our hearts. We have to guard the things of our minds, you know what I'm saying, to cast down imaginations and things. And so when we start talking about emotional abuse, we have to understand that thing starts in the mind of the person, and that it's something that can build, and the next thing you know, some instability may begin to show up. Gaslighting typically happens very gradually, as forestated, in a relationship. In fact, the abusive partner's actions may seem harmless at first, but over time, however, these abusive patterns continue, and a victim can become confused, anxious, isolated, depressed, and they can lose all sense of what is actually happening. And then they start relying on the abusive partner more and more to define a reality, which creates a very difficult situation to escape. So just in that little scenario, you can begin to see the seriousness of this gaslighting, and we can understand how an abuser, of course, understanding that domestic violence has to do with control. And so this is a way the victor to be more subjected to them, tries to get them to feel like they're in need of them, and it has to do specifically with control. So in order to overcome this type of abuse, it is important to start recognizing the signs and eventually learn to trust yourself. Some of the things that the signs of being a victim of gaslighting could include: you're constantly second-guessing yourself. You ask yourself, am I too sensitive, multiple times a day. You often feel confused and even crazy. You're always apologizing to your partners. You can't understand why, with so many apparently good things in your life, you aren't happier. And so you frequently make excuses for your partner's behavior to your friends and to your family. You find yourself withholding information from friends. And I just want to interject a thought right here, especially to those of you who have friends who are going through domestic violence. Again, this is not to just help those who are the victims of domestic violence, but this is to help those who are friends. If you have a friend who's going through domestic violence or a loved one who's going through domestic violence, again, I think it's very important that you educate yourself on these different techniques and things of that nature so that you'll be better able to assist them at the time, so that they'll have somebody to bounce some things off of. And making that statement, I also want to say that if you know that you have a friend or a relative or someone who's going through domestic violence and all of a sudden you don't see them, do what's necessary to try to find out they're okay. One thing I do appreciate now about calling the police, you can do a wellness check. You can ask them to do a wellness check, let it be known that you know that they've been going through some volatile situations and you just want to make sure they're okay because you haven't seen them and things of that nature. So don't be scared or don't be reluctant to do wellness checks. If you had a friend who was in your life, they was in your life, and then all of a sudden it got cut off, keep in mind one of the techniques of an abuser is to isolate. And so I just wanted to interject that thought. You know something is terribly wrong, but you can never quite express what it is, even to yourself. You start lying to avoid the put-downs and the reality twists. And then you start agreeing with what they're saying. Oh, yeah, maybe you're right, because, you know, you want to avoid some things. Or you don't want it to look like, you know, that you're not competent, you're not mentally competent. And so you start agreeing with some things. You have the sense that you used to be a very different person, more confident, more fun-loving, more relaxed. You feel hopeless and joyless. You feel as though you can't do anything right, and you wonder if you are a good enough partner. These are signs of gaslighting. And again, it has to do specifically with emotional abuse. And so if you know somebody who's going through some things, or if they're telling you some things like that, and you're hearing that in a conversation, now that you've become knowledgeable, do what is necessary to assist them to understand that they're not. You know, help them to understand who they are, and that if they thought they saw it, then more than likely they did. And, you know, just encourage them so that they can begin to understand that they can get help. Again, I have to acknowledge during this Domestic Violence Month, when you hear things, you know, it is imperative that you direct the person to the right sources to get help, to get assistance. Don't hold back to say, you don't have to be mean. That sounds like, you know, domestic violence, or that sounds kind of far-fetched, or something to assist them. I remember having a conversation with a young lady, and she was explaining some things to me about her boyfriend and how insensitive he was to her. And she said that when she started to tell him that you're being very insensitive to my needs, he began, oh, you too sensitive, oh, you this, oh, this is not right with you. And I began to tell her that that's not positive. That's not a good sign for a healthy relationship. If he's not at least acknowledging what you're saying and saying he'll try to change or he'll try to do better, then it's imperative that you begin to sever that relationship, especially from a standpoint of saying that you are an item. And so I was really, really happy that the young lady adhered to what I was saying to her. And then as she began to talk about it after the relationship was severed, she began to recall things in her own mind and began to solidify the fact that that wasn't a healthy relationship. And so we have to begin to speak up and understand that there's a manner of which you can say something to somebody where they'll be receptive to what you have to say. You know, don't say it in a way to put them down or to make them feel in any wise less than a person, but get them to understand that there are some things that they can do, that you're noticing some triggers, some toxic triggers in that relationship, and that they need to, you know, take a look at it and then see what they can do to get help. This is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we need to become more aware. The adage that it's not happening in your home, or the adage that it's not happening to anyone close to you so you don't need to know about it, I'm sorry, but that has no foundation. It is imperative for us to learn about something before it happens. Learn about it so that we can put a halt to it before it gets to the extreme. And so children, when they're in school, when as early as first grade in kindergarten, they learn about fire safety. They learn what to do in case of a fire, not because they're expecting a fire to be at their home, but if it ever arises, they know to get low on the floor so that they can crawl and the smoke isn't down that low. Or they learn to drop and roll if their garments are caught a fire. They learn some things. And so for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we need to learn some things so that we're able to share those things with somebody. When we hear it in conversation, we're able to share that with somebody who we haven't known how to address the issue up until this point. So my prayer for those of you who are listening is that this information is informative to you and that you can utilize it. I've been saying for a while now that, you know, churches have to educate. They have to educate those who are over women's ministry, those who are Bible teachers, those who are in security. We have to educate them to begin to look at the signs, and then not only just look at the signs, but to know what to do in case that situation arises. That if you hear of something or something is looking a little off kilter to you, to be able to go to a sister and say, you know, I noticed that you were a little jumpy with him when he was speaking to you, and what can we do to help? These are things that are so, so important. And so I just want us to begin to take a more, a more knowledgeable look at this thing and to just know what to do in case that happens. So that being said, thank you for listening. I am now off my soapbox, but again, this is something that is very, 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 very true to my heart, you know, and just getting people educated on domestic violence. Because it's such a rise in our society, especially among our teenagers with rapping the rap songs and how demeaning they can be towards women, that our young girls seem to feel like it's okay for somebody to call them out of their name and to treat them bad, and it's okay if he slaps her around and things of that nature. They've gotten a very derogatory view of who they are as young women. Our society has taught them that things that was once not okay have become okay. They've literally perverted the relationship, and they've made it seem like it's okay. And we have to begin to put a call out that you're better than that. You're better than that, and you don't have to go through these situations. Another thing that I think needs to be encouraged, especially to our young women, our young ladies, is the fact that if you can wait, if you can but wait, God has somebody who's going to treat you the way God made you to be treated. When God made Eve and presented her to Adam, he told Adam that this is bone. Adam actually said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, because she was taken out of me. And so we could get our young girls to begin to understand who they are and the importance of somebody treating them like they are the apple of the eye. Now, here's the other thing that I want to share. The fact that there are so many absenteeism fathers in the home, the daughter learns how she should be treated by watching the interaction of the father with the mother. That's how she learns how to be, how she should be treated. The horrific thing about it is that if the father in the home is an abuser, she begins to become desensitized to abuse and think that that's an appropriate behavior, even though everything in her could be telling her that it's wrong. She doesn't like to see her mom, you know, with black eyes and bruised and hit, but she's desensitized to it because she's seen it so much. Or it could do the exact opposite, and the young lady will begin to say, no, my father did that to my mom, and I refuse to let it happen to me. And unfortunately, she herself can become abusive because she doesn't want that to happen. So you got to go on from the far left to the far right, but I think that there's a medium in this thing. I think that a medium can be found with the help of the Lord our God, that he can begin to help us to understand how to pour into these young ladies, to understand that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that when God made them, he made a marvelous work. Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. You're listening to me. And my time is escaping me. So as we were looking at the gaslight, the technique of the gaslighting, we have to begin to understand that, again, it's an emotional abuse. It's a term that's used for emotional abuse. And so emotional abuse, of course, has to do with when somebody makes you feel less than what you are. When someone pictures an emotionally abusive man or woman, they often picture someone who is something of a caricature. They might picture someone of lower status, a blue-collar worker or an uptight housewife. No matter what picture of an emotional abusive person you have in your head, you are wrong, because emotional abusive men and women run the gamut, and no group of people is immune. In fact, a group of people who were sitting in a room drinking coffee, you would have no way of pointing out which of them were socially emotionally abused, or which one of them is emotionally abusive. So there are no outward signs of emotionally abusive people. There may even be no signs when interacting with them, as abusers tend to be able to turn their abusive behavior on and off with convenience. I think that's why the terminology came about, a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde syndrome, where a person is like really, really nice, especially in front of a lot of people. They're really, really nice, but once they get behind closed doors, that person turns into something that you've never seen before. Emotionally abusive men and women seek control, again. So no matter who the emotionally abusive person is, they seek power and control over their victim. Children are most common victim of emotional abuse for just this reason. Parents want to completely dominate and control their children into doing what is right. Similarly, a husband or wife can abuse their spouse and control them into behaving correctly in the mind of the abuser. Emotional abusers seek to have their way irrespective of those around them, assuming that their way is the best way, their way is the right way, or simply most convenient for them. Ironically, most people who are emotionally abused do so because they themselves are scared of being controlled, and so they try to control people. Characteristics of emotionally abusive men and women can include low self-esteem. Now, that sounds ironic given the fact that they are abusive, but they themselves can have low self-esteem. Some abusers abuse others to make themselves feel good about themselves, although some people feel that the opposite is true in many cases. Rush into relationships. Some abusers enter relationships and claim love at first sight very quickly, perhaps fearing being alone. Read about the signs of emotionally abusive relationships. Extremely jealous. An abuser may see jealousy as a sign of love rather than possessiveness. And we tend to, you know, when we see people who are over the top with jealousy, you know, you can't look in a direction. If it's a man, they know that you, I know you were looking at that man. That's a problem, and we have to begin to look at that. Having unrealistic expectations or demand. An abuser would demand that the victim be the perfect spouse, lover, friend, fill every need, even when it isn't reasonable or even when it's not healthy. And so we have to look at that. Create isolation. An abuser will work to cut off ties with the victim to keep the victim completely centered on the abuser. Uses force during sex, acting out scenarios where the victim is helpless may be a part of the sex, like losing drinking to cope with stress and things of that nature. Having poor communication skills. Abusers may have trouble with open conversation about feelings, so they abuse instead. Are hypersensitive. Abusers often take the slightest action as a personal attack. Appearing charming to others, abusers tend to hide their abusive behaviors in other scenarios so that the victim is only one that sees the abuse side, making it very difficult for the victim to reach out for help. We have to begin to look at that. One of the things I said, the strongest power for an abusive person is silence. Let it be known. That's why we often say that silence is not golden when it comes to domestic violence. We have to give DV a voice, and that voice will in turn get us the help that we need. And so we want to begin to look at that. So we've looked at and talked about on today gaslighting. We touched base a little bit on just some of the scenarios of emotional abuse and how people can deal with your emotions and then take that and begin to hold you captive to some things. And we don't want that to be happening to anyone. Again, if you need help, you are welcome to reach out to Hope Alliance. And Hope Alliance, our number, our website, we have a website that you can go to and reach out to us, or you can email us healing@hopealliancinc.com, and we can get you, if we can assist you, we can get you the assistance that you need in order to get you to a safe haven or get you to a safe place. Again, our indemnity clause at Hope Alliance is we don't advocate divorce, we don't advocate breaking up families. We do, however, advocate bringing healthiness to the family, whereas you can be a solid piece that God has called you to be and that the family unit can stay intact. That's our desire. So, again, if you have any questions or if you want to email us, you're welcome to do so. We would ask that you would extend or say something about this, what you've heard tonight on Breaking the Silence. If you could say something on Facebook, or if you could begin to tweet somebody and let them know about breaking the silence. And my specific reasoning, of course, being that I'm trying to reach out to those and the audience of the church, definitely in the audience of the church, to try to get the church to begin to recognize that there is a silent cry in the pew and that we need to have an answer for that cry. Well, thank you again for joining us on tonight. Our time is far spent, and we want to definitely pray tonight. For those of you who are listening, we just want to be in prayer that if you have come across anybody who showed these particular signs that we talked about on tonight, gaslighting, that you can begin to help them to get the help they need in order for them to become more aware, in order for them to become what God has made them to be. Remember, they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and when God made them, he made a marvelous, a simply marvelous work. Amen. Amen. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now, God, just to thank you. We thank you so much, oh Lord God, for tonight's session, God. We thank you so much, oh Lord God, for getting us to a place of knowing who you are and who you are in our life, oh Lord God. We just thank you and we just praise you, oh Lord God, for doing the exceedingly, for doing the abundantly, for doing all that we can ask or think or imagine. Father God, we specifically come, God, lifting up those who are going through emotional abuse right now, oh Lord God, lifting up those, oh God, who may be in a domestic violence situation, oh God. We lift them up before you now, God, in the name of Jesus. We lift up the ones who are on the line, oh Lord God, because you are now equipping them, oh God, to be a very present help for them, oh Lord God. Father, we thank you for your word that you said that you hear the cries of the helpless, God, and that when we call, you promised, oh God, that you would answer us, oh God. So we just thank you now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We thank you, oh Lord God, for being their protector, oh Lord God. We thank you, God, for angelic protection to them now in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We ask, oh God, that you would build them up, God. Give them the courage that they need, oh Lord God, to get an answer for this thing, oh God. So until then, God, we stand in intercessory prayer on their behalf, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We stand in the gap on behalf of someone else, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, that they would know you in the fullness of who you are, God. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray for that person, God, who is the abuser, oh Lord God. We pray now, oh Lord God, that you would begin to bring peace into their lives, oh Lord God. Help them, oh God, to want to seek out an answer, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. So we just thank you even now, oh Lord God, for touching their heart, God. We pray for children, oh God, who are witnessing domestic violence, oh Lord God. We pray especially for boys, oh God, that they not grow up to be an abuser, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. So we just thank you and we just praise you, Almighty One, for being the very present help in the time of trouble, God. We thank you, God, for being our shepherd, and we shall not want. We thank you, and we praise you the more. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray, and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is. So we just like to thank you for joining us on tonight, and we look forward to seeing you on next week when we again will be talking about a different scenario for domestic violence. Again, extend the word to those and let them know that we are on the air on Thursdays from 7:30 to 8. We're on the air sharing the good news of Jesus and bringing deliverance to the captives. Until then, may God's greatest and God's best be yours. Have a very pleasant evening. Good night, everyone.